Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All together, please. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhana Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, entitled The Pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, text number 28. Please repeat. Kritaisya Vidhava Lanka Vayam Cha Kurunandana Deha Kriton Nam Grihanam Atma Naraka Hetave Kritaisva vidava lanka Vayam cha kulanandana Deho kritanam krihanam grihanam gridhanam Atmanaraka hetave Kritaisha vidabhava Lanka Vidhava Vidhava Vayam cha kulanandana Deho kriton nam griharanam Vidhanam Vidhanam Admanaraka hetave Kritaisha vidhava lanka Vayam cha kulanandana Deho kritanam griharanam Gridhanam Atmanaraka hetave Okay, go ahead.
Well, Mataji, a Vaishnavis. Kritaisha Vidhava Lanka Vayam Cha Kurunandana Deha Krito Nannan Griharanam Gridharanam. Okay, word for word, please repeat. Krita, made by you. Esha, all of this. Vidhava, without a protector. Lanka, the state of Lanka. Vayam, cha, and us. Kulanandana, O pleasure of the Rakshasas. Deha, the body. Kritaha, made by you. Annan, eatable. Gridhranam, of the vultures. Atma, and your soul. Narakahetave, translation, Srila Prabhupada. O pleasure of... yes, that's right. We'll do that later. Let me have a go first. O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and also we ourselves, now have no protector. By your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell. Please repeat. O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and also we ourselves, now have no protector. By your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell. Purport Srila Prabhupada. One who follows the path of Ravana is condemned in two ways. His body is fit to be eaten by dogs and vultures, and the soul goes to hell. As stated by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita, 16:19, tan aham dvishata kruran samreshu naradhamam kshipyami ascharam asubhan asurish eva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various species of life. Thus the destination of the godless atheist, such as Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and Dantavakra, is a hellish condition of life. Mandudhari, the wife of Ravana, could understand all this because she was a chaste woman. Although lamenting for the death of her husband, she knew what would happen to his body and soul. For although one cannot see directly with one's material eyes, one can see with the eyes of knowledge. Pasyanti jnana chakshusha. In Vedic history, there are many instances of how one becomes godless and is condemned by the laws of nature. Mukham karochi vachalam bhangam laite girim yad kripa tamaham bande shri guru dinatarinam krittaisya vidabha lanka vayam cha kudanandana deha kritovun nan griranam atmanaraka hetave.
O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and also we ourselves, now have no protector. By your deeds you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell.
So, Ravana means one who makes everyone cry. So this is the wife of Ravana. She's certainly distressed. And as Prabhupada says, she has some knowledge, she has some realization. She's a chaste lady. And Prabhupada gives that as a cause. So that is the dharma of the lady, to be faithful, chaste, and dare we even say in Kali Yuga, obedient to the husband. She should be faithful. That means she should have confidence in his ability to fulfill his dharma. The dharma of the man is to protect the family, the husband. The dharma is to protect the family, to maintain the family, and to guide the family materially and, most importantly, spiritually. In the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev, that is given there, that you shouldn't become a guru, a king, a teacher, whatever, if you cannot liberate your dependents from the path of birth and death. So this is the aim of human life, and this is the special function of human life, is to gain knowledge of transcendence. And then to become absorbed in transcendence, and then transfer one's soul by the grace of Krishna and Guru to that transcendental life, which is full of bliss and knowledge eternally. That is the goal of human life. But the materialists don't accept that. This is the problem with Ravana. Yes, he was providing for his family and even maintaining them. And that is the duty of the man. He should be sober and reliable, and then the woman can have faith in him. Then the woman will admire him and be chaste and give deference to his guidance and position as a leader. But here, in the words of Manu Dhari, his wife, we see that Ravana is a disappointment to her. He's a duskritina. In the Bhagavad Gita, what is that verse? Namam duskritina mudha prapajyante naradama maya aprita jnana asurim bhavam asrita. That there's four types of duskritina. So Ravana was duskritina. What is duskritina? Translation is miscreant. Somebody who is opposed to the function of human life as given by Krishna. Somebody who doesn't accept the position of the Supreme Lord as infallible, as absolute, but rather presents himself as the absolute and endeavors to be the God of this material world. We see that is the underlying theme of the demoniac nature. And it comes out in various, as particularly in Kali Yuga, various philosophies, various ideas, various conjecture, how to exploit the material nature. Now they've discovered the material scientist DNA. So they are trying to find in the DNA a way so that we will not become old and diseased and die. They want to conquer material nature. They are duskritina, miscreants. They are opposed to the natural function, to the as created by the Supreme Lord. No one can conquer death. There it is in the Gita again. Mrityu sava harashchaham. Lanka is now without a protector because Ravana has been cast into the embrace of Mrityu, death. And all his land, his property, his status, his family, his treasurer, his army, gone. Mrityu sava harashchaham. I am all devouring death. So those that don't accept the Absolute Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as enunciated, elucidated throughout the Vedic literature, they meet the embrace of death. And they meet the Absolute in that way. People in the material world, they like to dismiss the idea. There is no God. Everything came from nothing, which is a ridiculous idea. Nothing doesn't exist, so how can it be the source of anything? Nothing means, if you look in the dictionary, the absence of anything. So it is absent of even existence by its definition. But the foolish materialists, they turn nothing into something, and that something can explode and create everything. But nothing is not there in the first place, so how can it explode? So this voidistic idea, sunyavadi in Sanskrit, this is very common nowadays, the material scientists. Oh, there's everything came from nothing. Huh? Yes. Did you come from nothing? Your intelligence is nothing. Non-existent. No, something comes from something. There is no such thing as nothing. Therefore, existence is unlimited, eternal, without material dimensionality. But you don't accept the Absolute. So then you have to accept the Absolute in the form of death. As sure as death, right? But you're railing against that. You are not going peacefully into the night. You are saying, no, we will conquer death. Well, you've got 50, 60, 70 years to try your best. We'll see how you do. The best laid plans of mice and men are destroyed as the reaper comes. So also there is another absolute manifest for the atheist, and that is their kalosmiaham. When Krishna revealed his virat rupa, the form by which he is pervading and maintaining the principles of the material creation, Arjuna was shocked, astounded by this ghastly manifestation. Because the material world, it is not the Ras Leela. In the spiritual world, the beloved devotees of Krishna, they are dancing in the Ras Leela, reciprocating with Krishna. Krishna is expanding himself to dance individually with every soul. And in the center of that, he is dancing with Sri Radha. But in the material world, the living entities who are bahirmukh, turned away, they are reciprocating with death. And they are being devoured by death. And the Virat Rupa, when Arjuna inquired, he said, what are you? What is this? He was astounded at Bhuta, shocked. He said, time I am, destroyer of all worlds. All that are assembled here, they will meet me in the form of death. So this is the material world. Now, of course, people like to think, oh, don't be morbid, enjoy life. Okay, live in your illusion. But devotees are not morbid. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says,
He reasons ill who says Vaishnavs die when thy art living still in sound. The Vaishnavs die to live, and in living spread the holy sound around. That may not be the perfect quote. So the Vaishnav, they are not fearful of death. That is Krishna. That is their liberation from this land of weal and woe. They don't have any romantic idea about this material world. They know that this material body is a great burden for the soul. As Mandudhari says here, it's fit to be eaten by the vultures and turned into stool. It is fit to be burnt by the fire and turned into ashes. And if it is buried, it is eaten by the worms. It is the breakfast of the worms. So, the Vaishnavas are not romantic about this mind and body. They know that it is just a temporary vehicle, Yantra Rudrani Mayaya. They know that I am Atma, I am situated in this body. And if I awaken my Swarup, then I will attain spiritual eternal life. Huh? What is that verse in the Bhagavatam? Swarupena Muktir Hitavam Yata Rupam Swarupena Avavashtitihi. That what is Mukti? Mukti, liberation, we hear about liberation, everyone's saying, oh, we want women's liberation. Every national anthem is talking, we're the land of the free, the home of the brave. We will be free, we are the land, our country is free, we are liberated, men's liberation, female liberation, workers' liberation, capitalist liberation, money liberation, everyone wants liberation because we know we're bound. And we're looking for a material philosophy to give us liberation. DNA liberation. Every year there's a new liberation idea, but they're all failure. So what does Bhagavatam say? Swarupena. You become situated, you awaken your Swarup, own form, your own relationship. Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. So the soul is also Satchidananda Vigraha in minute potency. He is eternal, he is conscious, he is full of bliss, and he has Vigraha, he has form and personality. So this is the nature of the soul. But we are not situated in that. Our consciousness, our chit aspect, is conscious and under the illusory potency, considering that this material mind and this material body and the paraphernalia, this is me. That is the problem. But liberation is not a material adjustment of that. Because you'll never become liberated of death. And you will never become free of time. Time is an absolute. You'll never become free of these things. You are under their control, absolutely. But you will become liberated if you use the human form of life to realize your relationship with Krishna. Swarupena avavastiti, to become situated in the Swarup. And so that is the aim of human life, and that to teach that is the aim of all acharyas and Sri Krishna himself. Yada yada hi dharmasya. I'm always coming. Why? To teach dharma, to chastise, to help the devotees, to chastise the demoniac, Ravana, and to re-establish Dharma. So Krishna, himself personally and through his empowered devotees, he's always coming again and again, re-establishing the process of liberation. How to become situated in your eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. But a miscreant is a person who is opposed to that. So this is Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, the divine and the demoniac, right? The asura, he is trying to enjoy this material nature, just like Ravana. He's ravenous. I don't know if the word ravenous came from Ravana, but ravenous person is one that is lusty, hungry, desirous of the material energy. And then when we can't gather enough money and sex life, then we want to be the controller, right? Because we can't enjoy sensuality unlimitedly, but we can have the illusion of becoming God by accumulating money, power, position. So that is ravenous. And that is the material proposition of all these fake philosophies. Enjoy this world as much as you can, because tomorrow we die. And perhaps our scientists, we're giving them millions and billions of dollars. Maybe they can change the DNA and we won't die. And we can live eternally in this material world, enjoying intoxication, unlimited sex life, meat eating, never become sick from our meat eating. And we can gamble because we will have unlimited. We'll change the DNA of the gold molecule so that it'll grow on trees. So this madness of the material world. But they are duskritinam, and they mislead others into this idea. You may not know, but it is a fact I have read, that Ravana, he wrote a commentary on the Vedas. Did you know that? Yes. But nobody's reading it, as far as I know. Maybe a few material scientists. But the Vedas, they deal with dharma, artha, karma, moksha. Liberation, which is a preliminary section of bhakti. So they, the commentary of the demons is about dharma, artha, and karma. How you should behave in the material world, dharma, what is your duty. Artha, you should develop economically. And then you should have calm. You should enjoy lustful life, satisfying the senses. That moksha section, oh no, we don't want that. So take that out of the Vedas. But the moksha is the most important thing. Yes, live a regulated life, the Vedas say. Perform your dharma. Then your artha will come. If you are living sattvic life, you attain the grace of the acharyas, the supreme lord, you'll have enough to live. That is the aim of dharma, balanced life. And then in a regulated way, satisfy your desire for eating, sleeping, mating, and protect the whole arrangement. But then when you see through this regulated life, just like Mandhari, she was faithful to her husband and she had the eye of knowledge. When you see that there is no real satisfaction in this material world, then put your mind upon mukti, liberation. And if you've been living your dharma, artha, karma, moksha nicely, then you will understand, yes, you will come to a spiritual intuition that there is more to be attained than just this material life. 70. It is said that in one scripture, man-made scripture, the life of man is 70, and anything above that, that is the grace of God. Actually, in Kali Yuga, 100 years is about the maximum lifetime. My mother, she lived to 97. So, this material life is a short affair. And as we mature in life, if we are living the dharmic life according to the Shastra and the teachers, we will understand that there is more than this life. When we're young and strong and energetic, we think we can climb Mount Everest. But as time comes, it becomes a teacher. And it says, no, it is the warning of Yamaraj. Your teeth are becoming loose. Right? Your hair is becoming gray. Your energy is decreasing. These are letters from Yamaraj that I am coming. Yamaraj, the god of death. So prepare yourself. So the Vaishnavas know that this body, it is not me. And they endeavor in this life, not at the latest stage of life, but they endeavor throughout life to realize their self, to understand that I am spirit soul, I am situated within this material body. This is called Bhuta Shuddhi in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, throughout Nectar of Devotion. Before we perform deity worship, archanam, chanting, Bhagavatam, whatever, we should perform Bhuta Shuddhi. What is that? The mantra, Naham Viprocha Narapatiya Naipi Vaishana Sudro Naham Vani. What am I? I'm nothing to do with this external designation. I'm not man, woman, I'm not Brahmachatriya Vaishya, I'm not anything like this. What am I? Gopi Bhata Kamalayo Dasa Dasanudas. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis. So this is the advice of the acharyas. Before we chant, before we worship the deity, before we perform devotional activities, particularly when we're in the period of sadhana, we should remember that I am not this body. What am I? I'm worshipping the deity now, not as this material body, it is being employed by me, but I am the soul within the body. And then when we sit down to chant, we should perform this short meditation. I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I am the soul. And we should chant, even from the platform of just intellectual understanding, that I am the soul. And then we should chant and perform our deity worship. What is it? Shravanam, Ketanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, all these Navavida Bhakti. We should perform them in the consciousness that I am spirit soul. And that is the process in sadhana bhakti by which we waken up our spirit soul. What is the 10th offense of the holy name? To maintain material attachment even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. So if we chant thinking I'm the body and I'm the body and I'm Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I'm chanting here and this is going to be good for me and it's purifying and this and that, but I'm chanting with my throat and voice. Well, that's okay, you're going to become purified. But Shastra Chakshus, see through the eyes of the Shastra. See that you are a spirit soul. And before you chant, remember I'm a spirit soul. And what is the function of that liberated soul? It is to give pleasure to Krishna. We are Shakti. We are Jiva Shakti. We're not Purusha. Krishna is Purusha. Baladev is Purusha. We are Shakti. If you read the purports in the Brahma Samhita, you will understand, you will see, there it is stated that the jiva emanates from Krishna and appears as the halo of Srimati Radharani. Krishna's Shakti is divided into three. The Chit Shakti, the Achit Shakti, the Jada Shakti, the material energy, and the Jiva Shakti. So they're all Shaktis. That means they're all under the department of serving Krishna. Krishna Radharani is Swarup Shakti, Krishna's Swarup Shakti. She is the energy of Krishna. She is imbibed with unlimited service attitude. And that is the function of Lord Chaitanya. Krishna sees the joy of Srimati Radharani, sees her service attitude, and wonders, what is it about myself that Radharani is so
enwrapped with, entranced with. So Krishna is Makanchor. He steals the butter. The devotion is of his devotee. So Krishna is the greatest in everything. The monkeys may steal your breakfast, the bananas from your hand. But Krishna, when he is stealing, he is stealing the greatest thing. So Sri Krishna, he steals the greatest thing, the bhava of Srimati Radharani. He steals, there's nothing greater than the service and the love, the prema of Srimati Radharani. Krishna steals that prema of Srimati Radharani, which is based on her attitude of service. The prema is coming from the service attitude. And then he understands her mood of service to him. He enjoys the bliss she feels. And he has some perception of his wonderful qualities that so entrance Srimati Radharani. So that is the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya. So the thing to understand also, Lord Chaitanya had two external reasons for his leela, his manifestation. And those external reasons, one, to satisfy the prayers of Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya offered the Ganga Jal prayers and the Tulsi leaf. And also, second external reason is to spread the Sankirtan movement through the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What is that verse in the Bhagavatam? Kalo dosha nide rajam astieka mahadguna ketanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha. Mukta sangha param brajet. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but it has the great quality that makes it actually the greatest of ages. And that is that by chanting Hare Krishna, Sankirtan, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Paranaka Dunodita, then one can become liberated from this world and develop Seva Bhav. So yes, we are distributing Prabhupada's books, we are doing Sankirtan, we are trying to spread knowledge of Krishna Bhakti throughout the world. But also, just like Lord Chaitanya, he was having external reasons to spread Sankirtan and satisfy his devotee Advaita, but he had internal reasons also. So there is a teaching in that for us. Internally, we should be developing our Seva Bhav. That will awaken our Swarup. That will bring us to Bhava Bhakti. In the Acharya's Nectar Devotion, all Acharyas, they explain Bhakti is Vaidhi and Bhava Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti is divided into two. One is Vaidhi, we follow rules and regulations. But then within that, anxiously keeping in view the position of perfection, we develop rag. So we follow rules and regulations, but it is to develop rag. That means attraction. And then attraction to Krishna and Krishna's service and Krishna's devotees will develop into rati. Rati means attachment. You may be attracted, just like Rupa Goswami gives the example, just a young girl and a young boy, they're attracted. But then they get married, they enter into relationship, and they become attached. So attraction leads to attachment. And then shakti, ashakti, then that will create bhava. And at the stage of bhava, the soul directly and personally realizes Krishna, and as he realizes Krishna, he realizes his relationship with Krishna. So we should understand everything scientifically. This is what the acharyas are writing, so many books, giving so many instructions. We should know the process. And so, yes, we are putting on tilak, putting on dhoti, worshipping the deity, paying obeisances, chanting Hare Krishna. But internally, we should be performing bhuta shuddhi. I'm not this body. If we maintain, if we are chanting thinking I'm this body, I'm from India, I'm from America, I'm from Russia, I'm from Bengal, I'm from Orissa, I'm from Kanyakumari. If we're thinking in this way, we're maintaining a material attachment. If we look in the mirror in the morning or in the middle of the day as we put on tilak and we think, this is my face, this is me, we're maintaining material illusion. And then our chanting cannot become free of offense. It is the 10th offense to maintain material attachment, even after So if we understand, at least philosophically, from the instruction of Acharya, then we can chant with purity. And then we can develop bhava. And then we can develop seva bhava. Bhava means seva bhava. That we act for the pleasure of guru, sadhu, shastra, sangha, Vaishnav. And then instead of meeting the fate of Ravana here, we will go, as it's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jiva Dharma, all acharyas, that if you attain bhava bhakti, then you will take your next birth in the leela of Krishna, in his Bhoma leela. The Bhoma leela of Krishna is moving continuously throughout the universes. Krishna is always being born in one universe, one after the other. And the leela is taking place one after the other. Just like the sun is always rising on one point of the earth. So Krishna's leelas are continuously flowing through the universes in staged format, if you understand. So it explains that those that attain bhava bhakti, that means rati, ashakti, ecstatic attachment to the Supreme Lord, devotional mood of service, then they will take birth in those leelas. And there in the company of the nitya siddhas, the leaders of the Madhurya Ras, the Vatsalya Bhav, the Sakya Bhav, the Dasya Bhav, in their association, their bhava will come to prema. And then they are completely liberated. They are Swarupena Bhavashtati. And they will attain eternal life. So the Duskritina is opposed to this. This is the special benediction of human life. The Duskritina is opposed to this. He proposes, no, enjoy the material world. Become a god of this world. Through this philosophy, that philosophy, this ism, latest ism. But they are always defeated by time and death. In this material world, there is the Asura and the Sura. They are the only real caste. Those that are demons and those that are devotees. The divine and the demoniac. So, we have free will. So it is up to us. And how to develop that desire to go from this material world to the spiritual world? Sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sava shastra hoy, lava mata sadhusanga, sava siddhi hoy. Therefore, Prabhupada, by his grace, he created this wonderful ISKCON society so that those that want to encourage one another in this wonderful, this heroic endeavor to become devotees, to awaken the Swarup, we cannot repay Prabhupada for his books, for his construction of ISKCON, for his installation of deities, for his traveling throughout the world at an advanced stage, Why? To create this wonderful society so that we could study the Vedas and the Vedic conclusion and take eternal life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, any question? Yes, go ahead.
The Mandodari is telling this verse that Ramana is going to go to the highest condition and his body is going to be eaten by the vultures. The question here is, Ramana, when he was at his end, Lord Rama was in front of him. Ramana, when he was at his end, he was killed by Lord Rama. So when he is facing Lord Rama, he is having his darshan at that point of time. How can he go to the hell?
Well, of course, good point. We know that Ravana, of course, Jayan Vijay, Ravana and his brother Kumbhakarna, he was like a brahmachari who's missing Mangalarti. So this is the statement of Mandhari in her lamentation. You understand? So we cannot take it as an absolute shastric statement that Ravana is going to hell. You understand? This is the lamentation, this is the emotionalism of an unhappy wife to see the state of her husband. So it is not an absolute statement. So it must be understood in that mood. Now we know actually that actually in the Ramayana there, and I believe it's mentioned here also, that she was the leader of all the wives at this time. Ravana had been killed, and all the wives of the defeated warriors, they were on the battlefield taking care of the dead bodies of their husbands. So it's a very terrible and sad scene, is it not? So their statements must be viewed in that light. And we see that Ramchandra, he did not forbid them. He allowed them to perform the Vedic rituals by which they would not go to hell. The different yajnas. This is Treta Yuga. They were expert in that. So it is. It has to be seen in that context. That.
Thank you, Prabhu. Can we take this way that Mandodari is teaching us that if you follow a demonic life like Ravana, then the gate for you is hell? Maybe she's teaching us that way we can take?
Yes, that is very unfortunate. That the miscreants, the Naradama. Narada means lowest of mankind. Well, first one is the Mudha, works like an ass, has no idea of spirituality, just I'll work hard and then I'll enjoy. The Naradama is the person who is uncivilized, has no regulation in life. The Maya Aprita Gyan is those that their knowledge is stolen by illusion. And the Asuram Bhava, they have a demoniac. They're very openly opposed to the Supreme Lord. So those people are very prevalent now in Kali Yuga. They're misleading people. And people are being led by those into very unregulated and sinful life. And then they're becoming, you see, the thing is, that, like we say, calm is there. You have a material body, so, but the Vedas explain, live a regulated life. You want sex life, then get married and be faithful. Be faithful to your wife. The wife should be faithful to the husband. You have to eat. So then eat sattvic food. Offer it to the Supreme Lord. Be purified. Sleeping. Yes, don't sleep at the junctures of day and night. Sleep as you require. Huh? Defend the arrangement in a dharmic way. But people are being told now, live to the nth degree. Try to enjoy sex You know, now we have LGBT. They're running out of letters of the alphabet. And they are all equivalent to one another, right? Heterosexual marriage is the same as homosexual marriage. This is Mayavad. Everything is one. Just do it and then enjoy. So people are being led to hell by these fake philosophies of unregulated life. And you don't achieve happiness in an unregulated life. Huh? If you live a regulated life, then your senses are satisfied, according to Vedas, and you can develop a sattvic guna, happiness. And from that platform of sattva gun, you can see the value of spiritual endeavor. But people now are being encouraged in unregulated life. Have any form of sex, eat anything, right? Take drugs, gamble, whatever. So this is the Duskritina. He's opposed, he's a miscreant. And in his opposition to the Supreme Lord, he wants to take everyone to hell. And they even have philosophies like this. Satanism, Luciferianism, sacrificing animals, sacrificing children, destroying parts of the body and offering it. And they think, these people, that they will be lords of hell in this material world. Luciferianism. And it's becoming, this is underlying idea, that you become god of matter, not servant in spirit. So this is the basic division. So the demons are running riot, but they always end up defeated. But they mislead people. So the compassion of the Vaishnav is to spread this knowledge by which people can become happy. There's a Vedic statement like that. What is the aim of the Vedas? That people become happy in this material world, and then they become blissful in transcendence eternally. So the Vaishnavs, under the protection of the Supreme Lord, they propagate this. Like I say, we have an external duty. And that's what Prabhupada did, is he not? 69, 70, he took off, he took a boat journey. There wasn't a computer booking of aeroplanes in those days. He went to America, 40 rupees, a box of Bhagavatams, an address. And how did he start the movement? He sat in Tompkins Square Park and chanted. He didn't even have a proper madanga. He just sit there and chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare, and then Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then people join because the power of the holy name, right? Confirmed. Right? So we should never forget that. Yes, we have to manage, we have to pay the bills, we have to fill in the forms, pay the tax and all that. But what is it all for? It is to distribute the Bhagavatam, the Gita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and to distribute the holy name. Right? And Lord Chaitanya has told us, what is that verse? Prativrichi atanagara nigam savacha prachar se moranam. That in every town and village, my name will be chanted, the name of Krishna. So we might think, oh, we've spread the name over the holy name. No, don't think that. There are many towns and villages, they don't know Hare Krishna. Right? Actually, what we could do in the age of computer, we could make a list of every town and village on the face of earth, and then we could, the GBCs, they could make a zone. I have this amount of town and villages in my zone, and I'm going to tick them off one by one. And then they could see who has ticked off every town and village. We shouldn't sit down thinking, oh, Prabhupada has said it's all gone everywhere now. No, every town and village. And that means we even have to go to the North Pole and the South Pole, because there's people living there in a little village. And we have to chant in the North Pole and South Pole. Maybe we'll do that at the end. But we can make a list, right, of every town and village and tick them all off. And then once we've gone through them once, we can go through them again. Sri Krishna Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai. You have one quick question. Well, they become purified, actually. The devotee, the family of a devotee, they, because of their attachment, their meditation upon their kin, they also become Krishna conscious. And so they also intuitively know by the association of their kin, son, brother, whatever, that I'm going to, that he's gone to a good destination. So we better finish at this time. Thank you all very much for coming to the class. Srila Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam Sadhu Sangha Ki.